whatever we have to do. Okay, you know, I want to declare this. So we're all going to stand, okay? Would you mind, if you don't mind? I want us to declare this. Now, this is something that we declare not only to our own hearing, but we declare to principalities and powers of the air. This region needs to understand that we've drawn the line. This region needs to know that we are the church. Amen? That we have made a decision. So we're going to just declare it together and just speak it out loud. Are you ready? Let's do it. I accept my calling not to perfection or performance, but to faith. I have been chosen for this generation. I have a place in the heritage of faith. I am a world changer. I refuse to whine or wish and start believing and receiving. What your word declares is mine, and I won't let others steal my expectation. I will believe and therefore speak, for you, my God, are huge. Nothing is too hard for you. My world needs your wonders. Rise up, O Lord. Renew your miraculous works in our day. For you are who you say you are. You can do what you say you can do. I am who you say I am. I can do all things through Christ. Your word is alive and active in me. Satan is under my feet. I'm an overcomer. I'm a believer and not a doubter. Look out, devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I walk in the authority of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Woo, boy, that's good right there. We can just say amen right on that. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share with you this morning a word that I received while I was standing in the School of Theology at YWAM School in Haiti in Pierre-Payen. It's a very humble school. These are Haitians that are being trained for ministry. I was about to preach, and I was going to preach a message out of Ezekiel 34 when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, look at Acts 22. I said, God, I'm about to preach here in a minute. I don't have time to look at Acts 22. But I did anyway, and it was a story or the account of Saul as he was giving answer to King Agrippa about what God had done in his life on the road to Damascus. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. He said, there are two kinds of believers on the earth. There are two kinds of believers on the earth. They are both attending churches. Many of them are in the same church, but they're not all identical. They may look the same. They may sing the same. They may even talk similarly, but they are not the same. He said the two believers that are on the face of the earth are like Romans 10, verse 2. There are many that have zeal for God, but without knowledge. There are many of those who have a love for God, an understanding for God. They even pursue God, but they are missing something that I am longing to impart into this generation. Then there is another group, another believer that is on the earth today. That believer are like those who have seen an encounter with God, like Saul, who had the blazing light of God shine in his heart. Not only that, but also the believer who, like Moses, had encountered the burning bush in the wilderness. In that burning bush that was not consumed, it became a part of his own spirit. Those are the people that are doing two things on the earth. Number one, they are releasing an intimacy and the power of God's presence through impartation. In other words, when you get around people like Saul, who on the road to Damascus has had a direct encounter with God, and the glory of the Lord has shone in them, and they have been invaded by the divine presence of God, you cannot leave them and remain the same. You cannot stand in their presence and not sense that God is speaking to you. The other characteristic of this particular believer is that they have also encountered the burning bush. Not only have they had an experience that they can mark and say it was on this day or at this service or under this anointed preacher that I encountered God. Those days are behind us. Let me tell you, this is not the day when we as people of God are going to look to the pulpit as much as we are going to look to the people. God said, this is the day that I'm not necessarily anointing a figurehead or bringing in a personality with charismatic personalities, but I am anointing the pew, not just the pulpit. I told people yesterday when I was on the phone, may Church on the North Coast not be a church just of the pulpit. May it be a church of the people. May we understand that there are gifts and graces that God has deposited in the lives of those of us that are sitting in this room today that for too long have been suppressed, for too long have been controlled, for too long have been contained. This is the hour that God wants the burning bush, not on the outside, not in the pulpit, not the blazing light of glory or the anointing on one person, but rather in the hearts of every believer on the face of the earth. I believe today that what happens is that there will be a release as a result of your intimacy with God. When that glory of the Lord, when the divine invasion occurs in your life, there will be a release of apostolic authority. You may want to write that down. That is a characteristic of this generation. There is a sleeping Samuel generation. There are those that are in the house but have not heard the voice. There are those that are in the house and being raised by the house, but they've not had an encounter with the God of the house. And God is visiting the Samuels of this generation. That's why I'm committed to a multicultural, multi-generational church. God is going to bring young people that have a burden and a passion for his intimacy, who are no longer satisfied with church's status quo and the way things have been. They're not wanting to go through the three songs and the little hymn and the little sermon and the little poem and get out by noon and not really concerned about having a touch from God. They're hungry. They're disillusioned by all the nonsense. They're disillusioned by the hypocrisy that they've seen in the church. But hold on, sleeping Samuel, because even though you've been raised in the house and you haven't known the voice, some of you as well have been raised in church. You've been going to church a long time. You've been disillusioned by preachers. You've been wounded by churches. Some of you have even refused to let God do it one more time. But for some reason you said, well, I'll go see this tall, gray-headed old guy up there at Church on the North Coast and maybe God will do something. I'm not your answer, but I do know the answer for you, and I'm going to point you in that direction. When you get into the divine invasion of the blazing glory of God that comes from heaven, it will release the apostolic authority in your life. I'm talking about the same kind of signs and wonders that the apostles operated in should not be just for the pulpit. It ought to be for the people. It ought to be for every one of us. We ought to begin to expect that God is going to show up and show out all by himself. We don't need to make an announcement or hold a crusade or sing five songs to get him to do it. But we are a people that have heard his voice. And but that the Samuels will begin to rise up, the lamp of Israel nearly went out. God is going to preserve this generation. God is calling people like Elijah and Ronald and others. God is bringing us together and assembling us in this room, not because we want a name for ourselves. God, help us that we would get back to the same origin of this Holy Ghost outpouring in Azusa Street. When Elder Seymour began to preach before the people, he didn't come in with his entourage. He didn't come in with his cloak and his bishopry. He didn't come in with all kinds of pomp and circumstance. He walked up to the pulpit, began to weep before the presence of God, knelt down and stuck his head inside an orange crate, lest that anybody would think he had anything to do with what God was about to do. And he began to preach with his face prostrate in the ground and in the carpet, so that God and God alone would get the glory and God and God alone would get all praise. Come on, church, that's a good place to praise him right there. We want to give you all the glory and all the praise, Lord. We need a revolution. We need an insurrection. We need to turn this thing right side back up. We need to begin to say the nonsense has gone on long enough. Some of us have been duped by the TBN crowd. Some of us have been sucked in by the theology and the misnomers of those who said you can do this and do that and still have God. Let me tell you something. I may be old-fashioned, but I believe in the Bible. I believe we ought to live right. I believe we ought to love everybody, not pick and choose. I believe that we ought to live a life dependency on prayer and that our lives ought to be separated from the things of this world. If I can get an agreement in here, I may just go on. So a release of what? Apostolic authority. Number two, the divine invasion of the burning bush. Moses saw a bush in the wilderness, not uncommon for it to be ignited. What was uncommon is it wasn't consumed. And the voice came out of the fire and declared this, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. For too long, the people of God have mixed the world in their faith. Just like Israel, they began to mix in their relationships, their religion with the God of Baals. They'd offer sacrifice to God on Sunday and on Monday offer it to Asherah. This is a time when God is calling out a people to say, be separate, for I am holy. I want to move through your life and I want to do some powerful things, but it's going to be a decision based on whether or not you really want it. This anointing that came upon Moses was not necessarily apostolic or authoritative. What it was miraculous deliverance. A people will have a divine invasion of the glory of God will not only walk in apostolic authority, but they will also operate in miraculous deliverance. This is a day when you and I in the grocery store, at Kmart, at an ATM, over Aunt Annie's for a little birthday party, it doesn't matter where we are. The Spirit of the Lord God is up on me and He has anointed me. We're just looking for opportunities to lay hands on somebody, to cast something out, to take authority over one or another. It doesn't matter to us because we know our assignment on the earth. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the evil one. For this purpose have you been manifested. For this purpose have you been born in this hour, in this generation. For this purpose have you come into this house at this moment. For this purpose have God burdened me in a nation called Haiti as I stood there ready to preach a different message. And God said, go home and preach this word, because there are two kinds of believers on the earth. Those that have a knowledge of God and a zeal for God, but they don't have the encounter with God. And therefore, they lack the power of God. And there is a generation that is living under bondage. We have people in churches that are still bound by alcohol. People that in churches that are still bound by incest and pornography and self-centeredness. And God says, no, I want the Moses generation. I want a people who have had a divine invasion from heaven to be able to walk into that place and set people free. Let my people go and not take no for an answer. Look square in the face of a Pharaoh and say, God has a bigger plan. God has a bigger message, and God has a place for these people, and it's not living under the dominion of the God of this world. Amen? Amen? So these are the two kinds of people that are living on the earth today. In Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise and shine. That means you have to change your position. Arise and shine. In other words, move from where you have been. Move. I want to be provoked when I meet you. I want to know you. I want to know the God that you serve. I want to be impacted by the words that you speak out of the intimate place that you have spent time with Jesus. When you sing, I don't want to hear your song. I want to hear the words coming out of the Holy Ghost. I want the anointing of the Spirit of God. And for so long, we've been hungry. There's been a famine of this in the earth today. There's a famine of the anointed Word of God. There's a famine of the impartation of the people of God. I want you to know, I want you to be released today. I want you to operate in signs and wonders. I want you to know that you are commissioned. I want you to know that every person that walks into this ministry is a minister of God. There's not just one minister, one pastor. We are all ministers called to do the works of God in this generation. Can I get an amen? Amen. In Acts chapter 22, here is Saul in his account, giving his account to King Agrippa. And he tells King Agrippa, now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon. Suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, Saul got up one day one way and went back to bed the same day another way. These are the hours of acceleration. These are the hours of acceleration. Some of us have been cold and dry. Some of us have been far removed from God, like Pluto, taking multiple years to take one circuit around the sun. But some of us are like the planet Mercury. We're up close and personal. And we're burning with the fire of God. And we find the revolutions around the presence of God are accelerating. We're finding ourselves not satisfied with the things of this world. We're finding ourselves that had been filled and satisfied with previous things are no longer doing the job. There is a void and a hunger inside of us that says we want more of God. And that if I don't get it, I won't be able to live. Can I get a witness? Am I preaching to the right people in here? A light in invasion from heaven came. And the first thing that happened is it blinded him. The count in Acts chapter 9 says it blinded him for 3 days. Everybody say 3 days. How long was Jesus in the tomb? 3 days. How long did they prepare themselves before they crossed the Jordan? 3 days. 3 days speaks of death. King Saul, in order to have this divine invasion, had to do one thing first. He had to die to himself. Not only did he die to himself, but he was blinded. Look at your neighbor and say, he could not see. Now, why is that important? Why did I ask you to tell your friend that? Because we must become blinded to the things of this world. We are allured by the things of this world. We are captivated by the things in this world. And God said, listen, I want to invade your territory. I want to impart to you an apostolic authority. I want to give you the miraculous deliverance of a Moses generation in this last hour. I believe it's the latter and former reign together. That's my own opinion. But I believe those are the characteristics of this last outpouring of the Spirit of God. It'll be both apostolic and it'll be miraculous. A 120-mile journey it was from Jerusalem to Damascus. He was incensed with the zeal of God to persecute the church. And the Bible says that he was knocked flat on his back. You can read the account in Acts chapter 9 and Acts 22. He was blinded. He did not eat for 3 days, food or water. And I said, Holy Ghost, bring me to that place. More than likely he was on a mule or on a horse with that length of a journey. And the Bible says he was knocked off. And he was lying flat on the ground. I want you to know you cannot get any lower than when you are on the ground. And God said, now that I have you where I can exalt you. Now that I positioned you where I can use you. You can't see. You no longer have dependence on what used to bring you from one place to another. You no longer are eating of the natural food which used to give you the strength and the sustenance to do what I've called you to do. But there is a food, there is a manna from heaven that I'm going to feed you with, Saul. And then he said, I'm going to send a man by the name of Ananias. And Ananias is going to take you by the hand. And he's going to lead you into Damascus. And that's very important for us to understand, because he could have said, go back to Jerusalem. But God said, no, take yourself into Damascus, because Damascus was the center of the known world at the time. And their religions would clash. And he wanted Saul to make a choice, make a decision. Who you're going to serve? And some of us have been riding the fence. Some of us have been serving the church, serving the world, serving God, serving ourselves. He said, I want you to make a choice. Like in 1 Kings 18, when the great prophet on that great mountain, Carmel, looked at the people of Israel and said, choose this day who you're going to serve. And the Bible said he answered them not a word. If you're going to serve God, serve God. If you're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. And I said this morning in our first service. I said, listen, if you're going to be a sinner in church, you might as well quit the church and go out and have a bunch of fun, because it doesn't make any difference anyway. You might as well just go out and just be a dogged out sinner, man. Just go ahead and do it. No sense in coming in here and messing us up. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. If my family comes to a point in their life of crisis, and my family or my wife or my life personally or this ministry, and we need a miracle from God, and we need authority from God. I don't want you coming in here messing up with dirty old flies in the anointing. Come on, somebody. I'm not ready to hang out with church people anymore. I've done that for 30 years. I'm looking for somebody who's hungry for the real truth. Somebody that wants the apostolic authority operating in the church. The miraculous deliverance of God operating in the church. God's not a liar. I hate to tell you this, but he doesn't lie. If he says, by your stripes you are healed, and people say, well, how come they're not healed? Listen to me. Let's not put it on God. Let's not rewrite our theology just because we haven't gone to the bush. Just because we haven't got off our horse. Just because we're not dependent on Ananias. Ananias was one of the most revered disciples in all of Damascus. If you did a little bit of study about him, you'll find that Ananias had a great anointing, a great teaching ministry. He was a powerful prophet. And God said, Ananias, I want you, because he heard him in a prophetic dream, I want you to go get Saul and lead him by the hand. His first response was, you got to be kidding. This is the guy that kills us. He said, I want you to trust me. And Ananias did, and he grabbed hold of Saul, and he brought him into the place of decision. Some of us are going to have to trust again. I am so sorry you have been hurt by preachers. I am very sorry churches have let you down. I am so sorry that the leaders of that church weren't the real deal. I am so sorry, but get over it. We can't keep sitting in our past. God's waiting on you. You got to shake yourself loose. So I'm not going to sit and dwell in the past. God saved you. God gave you the kind of heart you have because he wanted the purity out of your life to reach the purity of his presence. And when purity meets purity, there's a release of power. And so Saul had to become dependent upon the voice coming from another. He had to trust the voice. I am not perfect. I don't promise you that I'll never make a mistake. I've made a ton of them. My family is here. They could tell you all of them. But I promise you one thing. I will have a passion and love for God. And as your pastor, I may not do everything right. But I will worship God with all my heart, soul, strength. And I will do my best to love you as God. I love myself. I am a committed Christian before I'm a pastor. And I've told many ministers, if you cannot be a good Christian, you'll never make a good pastor. I don't read my Bible just to get a sermon. I read my Bible to live. I don't pray just so that I would be anointed in a service. I prayed that I might have intimacy with Jesus Christ. I am as dependent upon God and his glory and his presence as you are. God gave me a gift, called me to be a pastor. I didn't want to be one. Here I am 30 years later, and I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. But I want you to know right now, you have to move into your position that God has called you to. Don't be hesitant. Come to the place of making a decision. Come into your Damascus. Don't waver between two opinions. Get over it. Repent of it. Let it go. Forgive them. Release them and go on in your life. You know what? Most of us don't even realize that the people that hurt us don't even remember that they hurt us. We're walking around with all the memories. We're the one that we're still in pain. Let it go. Put it at the cross. Forget it. Walk on. God's got a plan for you. I like Acts 22 and 17 to 21. He went into Damascus. The Bible says he was baptized. Some of us need to be baptized again. Oh, no, 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 no. Not just to fulfill some church ritual. You know, but some of us want to have membership. Well, you got to be baptized. You're going to be a member of our church. You don't have to be baptized to be a member of this church. You don't have to walk through all these religious hoops, and you don't have to do all these things that, you know, fulfill all the requirements. You just have to love Jesus. And Saul was baptized. He is immersed in the Word of God again. Ephesians tells us, by the washing of the water of the word. He was baptized. And he said he began to pray. It's a novel idea, isn't it? Pray. There's a new level of prayer. It's released, man. You can feel it. You can sense it. I can sense it in our own life, our own family. It's like a new level of prayer. It's like, God, what are you doing? What are you trying to say? He said, it's a staircase. It's the pathway to the trance. I said, Lord, what's a trance? I don't want to go into a trance. That sounds weird. But Saul went into a trance. He went into a perception where he only saw Jesus. That's all he saw. That's all he cared about was Jesus. And every day when he got out of his bed and rose to his feet, he sought the face of Jesus. He hungered for him, desired him. You could tell there was something happening in his life because his first two responses to God, once he was on his back, once he was in humility, he didn't say, do you know who I am? I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm educated under the feet of Gamaliel. Don't you realize I'm commissioned by the high priest in Jerusalem? He didn't say any of that. In his humble state, he said, not who I am, but he said, who are you? God help us that the church gets to a place where we want to know who he is. Who are you, Jesus? The Bible says you're the bright and morning star. You're the lily of the valley. Jesus, you're the shepherd of my soul. I want to know who you are. Who are you, Jesus? I have to know you. I have to know who you are. I can't live without knowing you. Saul cried out, who are you, Lord? And can you imagine a church full of people all over America who don't know him? We know about him. We know more about our church regulations and rules and standards than we do about him. And then he said this, what do you want me to do? It's not about my agenda. It's not about my plans. I don't have any plans. People have asked me, well, what's your plans for Cleveland? I don't have any. I have no idea what we're doing. That scares you, doesn't it? I don't know. We're just going to go bless Jesus. I said, what do you want me to do, God? And it's only found when you get into perception where all you see is him. Let me ask this question. What is so precious in your life that you can't live without? Is it maybe a car? Is it your bank account? Is it your children? What is it that becomes so precious to you that you could not live without? I said, God, you got to take me to a place where there is nothing so precious, but Jesus. A few minutes ago, we sang, say the name of Jesus, say the name. So precious, say the name. No other name I know. I want to know the name. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings, and I am not afraid of that word. I am not afraid of that word because I know that I was buried with Christ, Romans 6 says, and I have been raised in newness of life with him, and I walk in his authority and his power. And I love what Paul later, the apostle Paul, Saul previous, said in Philippians chapter 3 in the Message Bible. I've got to read this to you. It is so cool. It is so awesome. And if you don't have a Message, you'll just have to listen to it. But I encourage you to get a Message Bible. It'll really turn your whole world upside down. But Philippians chapter 3. Let me see if I got the right verse. Yeah, verse 7. It says this. Listen to this. This is what Paul, he's given testimony. He says this. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. Okay, that's enough. All right, forget it. I don't have to say any more after that. Oh, you have a message Bible? Cool. I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Jesus. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master. Firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dong. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I don't want some petty, inferior brand of church. I kind of threw that in there, but that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ and God's righteousness. And that's enough for me right there. I think I'm going to shout. Woo! I feel like running. Not a lot of room in here, so I won't. What's so precious in your life that you can't live without? Can you count it as rubbish? Can you consider it dog, dung? Can you let it go? Because then and only then will the apostolic and the miraculous deliverance power of God be imparted to your life. There's no other way. You can't cheapen this thing. We can't work it up in a fervor with the band. We can't hoop, whoop, holler, sing, song, preach. I can do that too. I've learned it all. I can get a crowd emotional. I can get people to the altar, and that's scary because there's no substance to it. I've learned one thing, that the Bible says you can redeem the time. How much time are you wasting with your walk with God? I'm not saying you can't watch football. Go Browns. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm not saying you can't watch Ohio State beat up on Penn last night. Yeah, baby, that was good. Nothing wrong with that. But how many hours have we chosen the things of this world for the sake of his presence? In our own homes, we have permitted our children to marry the world. And we bring them to church and wonder why they're not seeking God. And I'm not trying to be hard on anybody, please. I'm a grandpa. I've got 10 grandchildren. We've got to reprioritize our lives. There's nothing holy about Halo 3. There's just nothing holy about it. The other day in staff meeting, we were planning next year's calendar. We're going to have an awesome children's conference at the end of January. It's called Rise Up Sleeping Samuel. And we're going to impart to our children the Holy Ghost for 2 days. And we're going to preach. My wife's going to preach. MJ's going to preach. We're just going to create an atmosphere of the impartation of miracles. I'm telling you, your kids are going to get the Holy Ghost. They're going to be laying flat on the floor. They're going to be shivering and shuddering and shammering. And they're going to be jumping up and down. They're going to be glorifying God. And we were talking about one of the events that were going to cost about $30, and I forget if it was MJ or somebody said, you know, we really need to be careful because or sensitive because a lot of families in the church, you know, they don't really have that much money. And something inside of me, it really wasn't me. It was come out of my belly. I could tell when it's God because it comes out of here and not out of here. And I said, no, that's not true. They'll pay $50 for one video game. They could pay $30 to put their child in this conference. I went, uh-oh. God just showed up. They'll put $150 out for cleats so they could play football. They'll pay $400 for an Xbox. I refuse to give in to that mentality. Amen? And so when we begin to think about redeeming the time, God's giving us his grace right now. Put your Bibles aside, if you will. Just close your eyes and lift your hand before the Lord, if you will. If that's something you feel prompted to do, I don't want to tell you what to do. Just it's a posture of surrender. And we just basically say to Jesus right now, Lord, all to thee, my blessed Savior, whatever key, put it in the right key. But we want to surrender to him, amen? Come on, Sandy, I need you to help me. Somebody help me sing that song because I'm not a singer. Not a whole lot of much of a preacher, but I'm just a man that loves God. Father, we want to redeem back the time. The time when we have wasted moments we could have been pressing into your kingdom. We want to buy back the moments as a couple when we could have been seeking the face of God together on our knees in our living room. We want to buy back the time when as young people we spent 6, 8, 10 hours to the wee hours of the morning before a video game when we could have been calling on you. I surrender, Jesus. I want to buy back my marriage. I want to buy back my relationship with my kids. I want to buy back, oh God, my miraculous, authoritative, apostolic life. I want it, God. I'm hungering for it. I'm searching. I'm thirsting for it. To Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give it, Jesus. Come on, lift hands up to Jesus and tell him, I will ever love and serve you, Jesus. Yes, I will, Jesus. In your presence daily live. Come on, lift your voice and sing. I surrender. I surrender to you right now, Jesus. Say the name. If you're here this morning, you're saying, I'm going to make a decision in my Damascus. I'm crossing the line. I'm buying back my time. I'm going to go all the way with God. But I want you to do me a favor. I want you to stand to your feet. You want the apostolic. You want the divine invasion. You want the miraculous impartation of a Moses and a burning bush. I want you to stand to your feet. If that's you today, you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness and all of God. Stand to your feet. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Just bless the Lord. My God, we bless you, Jesus. We say the name, Jesus. You'll restore, you'll renew, you'll redo, you'll cause us, oh God, to rise up and be holy and strong in you, Jesus. Head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask this question. You're standing in this room today and about ready to move from here into the rest of your life, into your future. But if you're going without God, if you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you're going alone. It is such a risk today to live life without Christ. You'll say, Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus in my heart. Nobody looking around. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I want you to respond by lifting your hand. Christians all around you are praying. You see, you're the object of our affection right now besides Jesus. You're the one that we're crying out for because we believe that God's got a plan for your life. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up, hold it up, hold it up. If that's you and you need Christ as your personal Savior, we want to pray for you. There in the back, there in the front, in the middle. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Christians are praying. Yeah, we're digging a deep well. Let the waters rise, Lord. Let it bring refreshing to the people today. Maybe the first time you didn't respond, you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're really not serving God, but you want to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe your heart is palpitating and you know that God is speaking to you by His Spirit. This is a moment that God designed specifically for you. He's interrupted this service and He has declared, I want my child home. It's time to come home. On the count of three, if you didn't already raise your hand, I want you to throw them up as high as you can. Are you ready? God sees that hand. One, two, three. If you didn't already do it, do it now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you over there. Thank you on that side as well. Holy Spirit, everybody now, just lift your hands up, thanking God that He's dealing with hearts. Come on, He's dealing with hearts. Thank God for this. This is the mercy of the Lord. This is the goodness of God. This is the blessing of the Lord. Come on, we need to thank Him for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can put your hands down. Christians are continuing to pray. I just feel urging in my heart that there might be just one more person. And if I was on a boat and I had come to rescue people that were in the water and they were drowning, and I heard one more cry, what kind of man would I be to drive that boat away and leave you in the water? There, not rescued, but to perish. What kind of a man would I be? But yet I'd have to turn that vessel around and say, no, we've got to pick them up. We've got to bring them in to the vessel of safety. You didn't respond the first time or the second time, but you know today the Holy Spirit is really ministering to your life. You say, Pastor, you better include me in this prayer. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. I want to come to Christ. I want to serve Him. I want to know Him with everything within me. If that's you, on the count of three, this is your moment. This is your opportunity. But you've got to reach out for the lifeline. You've got to reach out for the rope. God's throwing it, but will you reach for it? One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up and you haven't already done it. Anybody else? Way over on the side. Thank you so much. I'm glad I came back. I'm glad I came back. I'm glad I came back. Altar ministers, I want you to come across the front of this room. Altar ministers, come across the front of this room. These are people that love you. These are not people that are going to embarrass you. These are people that want to pray for you. These are people that want to minister to you. If you raise your hand today, I want you to take another step. I want you to leave from where you're standing. I want you to get off your horse. I want you to posture yourself in humility. I want you to say, Jesus, I need you. Guys, I want you to find a guy to come to pray with. And girls, I want you to find a girl to come to pray with. But if you raise your hand, would you come now? Would you come now? Say the name. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Right there from the back. Right there on the side. Come on, sir. Come on. Come on, sir. Come on. Come on. This is your moment. This is your moment. Come on. Come on. This is your time. This is it. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your time. This is God. here's what I want you to do, and I know we're getting a little bit long, and I'm going to stand up here so you can see me. With compassion in your heart, with tenderness and kindness in your eye, if you'll, like, look around you and say, listen, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. But do not stand here and not respond to God. God loves you so much, I'll go with you. So would you just turn to somebody around you and say, did you raise your hand, honey? I'll go with you. And then bring them up to this altar. Come on, do it right now. Do it right now. Go ahead. Come on, do it right now. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Right here, right over here, right over here. Come on, come on. They're coming. Somebody give God praise. Come on. Come on, cry out to him right now. Say, Jesus.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name.
Jesus.
He's the lily of the valley. A morning star.
Jesus.
The healer, deliverer.
Jesus.
He's all that we need. All that we need.
Here's what I want you to do. Reach a hand out to everyone that's here right now. Come on. Reach a hand out to them. Reach a hand out to them. Reach out a hand to them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bless each one of these. We claim them for the kingdom of God. Satan, loose them right now. Satan, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. We bind the devil in Jesus' name. Devil, you are defeated in their life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks and give you glory. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, give you honor, for you are worthy. You are worthy. People right now are receiving Jesus as their Savior. I'm hearing them as I'm walking by. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Come on, church, are you celebrating with me? Are you thanking God for what he is doing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a powerful morning. This is an awesome morning.
Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. Say it again, here I am to worship. Oh, here I am to bow down. Just to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. You're my God. You're altogether worthy. Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful.
I'll never know
how much it costs to see my sin upon the cross. I'll never
Hey, church. Some powerful stuff's happening up here. I just met Debbie. Maybe you need to meet her. She's from Israel. She's only been in America 4 days. We welcome her. Amen. I met Kevin and Carol and young Kevin. I mean, God's going to do something in your life, man. I'm telling you right now. It's powerful. So many things happening. Listen, would you just give me a couple more minutes? Do you mind? Would you have a seat? Do you mind, please? Following this service, we're going to have people in this room that are going to explain at these tables a little about ministry opportunity for you. A couple of weeks ago, I said we got 90 days to get things together, and then the Lorraine group is going back home. Well, don't worry about that. They said they'll stay here as long as it takes to get everything set up, so I thank them for that. These are all our volunteers that have come to minister. Children's ministry will not change. We got an awesome children's ministry, youth ministry. I mean, it's all going to be good. Tell people this is not a church plant. A lot of people think, well, I don't want to go to a church where it's just a church plant. This is a full service ministry. It's just another location. Everything we have in Lorraine is yours, okay? So you can meet at one of these tables, talk to some of the people about the various ministries. And then today, we are so blessed to close out this service with a great anointed psalmist before the Lord.